Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Amen. Well, I said that we're going to talk about the Great Commission. And the reason we want to talk about the Great Commission is that, you know, this last week was a really neat week. A couple of cool things happened. Some amazing young adults here at our church, Cynthia Clifford, as well as my good friend Brad Andrews. They did an amazing outreach at University of Redlands called Rewind for the college students. And I went, I was a part of it. I got to just observe and just literally burst with pride for what God was doing, as well as we had a trip from our young adults, our youth, and our Spanish ministry that was spent 5 days in Ensenada, Mexico, building houses, visiting rehabs and hospitals. And so they're going to come in a moment and just give a report of what God's doing through missions as well. But I thought before we hear reports and before we see about what's going on, I thought we'd just share something that God put on my heart as we were looking at this and, you know, keeping that report in front of the church and what's going on about. I believe what God has for every person, because there is an assignment for every one of us who call ourselves Christians or who profess to be believers or followers of Jesus Christ. And it's the Christian mission, so to say. In Matthew, if you've got your Bibles, in Matthew, the 28th chapter, there's a statement that Jesus makes. It's the final statement that the apostle or the disciple Matthew records of Jesus speaking to his disciples in Galilee before he ascends to heaven. And he gives them this final commandment, this final desire for him to fulfill, for them to fulfill on earth. And we have now labeled or branded that in Christendom or in our faith as the Great Commission. When you think about the Christian mission, what that means is Christian literally is a term that came originally was a derogatory term to the church, and it meant little Christs. You little Christs. You want to be Jesus's. And but Jesus said, you know what Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ, and you know, follow things to be spiritually minded. So you know what we said, that's not an insult. We'll take that. If I could be half of what Jesus Christ is, if I could be a little mini Jesus, I'll take it, because that's my goal in life, is to look more and more like Jesus every day. So Christian just literally means to be a little Jesus. Mission is an assignment. So it's our assignment to be like Jesus. And Jesus gives this to us in Matthew, the 28th chapter. We call it the Great Commission. And in Matthew, the 28th chapter, Jesus says it like this. He says these words. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. The therefore comes from Jesus saying, after the resurrection of the dead, he was dead for 3 days in a tomb, crucified on the cross through the power of the Holy Spirit. Nobody called him out of the tomb. Nobody said, Jesus, come forth. Out of the Spirit of God, Jesus raised from the dead, that resurrection that we talked about or we sang about today. Jesus says, now because of this, all authority has been given to me. And he says, now because I have been given the authority in the heavens and the earth, he says, now you go in that and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them, verse number 20, to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And I love this. And lo, I am with you always, Jesus says, until the end of the age. There's so much jam-packed in what Jesus has in this Great Commission. But we call this the Great Commission because this is something that every believer, that every Christian has in their life. There is an assignment for every one of us, and that is to share our faith. Every Christian, every person who has or who professes to follow Jesus has a mission, and that is to share our faith with someone. There was a statistics or a survey a couple of years run by Lifeway Research Institute. They studied 3,000 Protestant Christians, that's you and I, 3,000 people like us of all different denominations. And out of that survey, they found that 80% of the people they asked of Christians, 80% of the Christians believed that it was important, that it was a God-given assignment, or that it was a mandate to share their faith with somebody. To share their faith. Yet, only 60% of the people shared their faith with anybody that year. And when you asked if they shared their faith or if they shared how to find Jesus or how to come to Jesus, gave them an invitation, it drops down to less than 60%. I think it's in the 40 percentiles, and it goes even further down that. You see, most of us understand that as followers of Jesus, we have been given an assignment, a mission, and that is to share our faith. But I think what happens when we think about the Great Commission, When we think about what Jesus said, he says, therefore, go into all the nations. We begin to think, you know what, I'm just not adequate. I'm not going to get on an airplane and fly halfway across the world to share my faith with somebody I don't know. My life, my season, for whatever reason it might be, that's just not something I'm going to do. So what happens is we don't feel adequate. We don't feel like we're capable. We don't feel like we're qualified to say anything. What if I say the wrong thing? What if I don't say the right thing? What if what I say makes somebody believe in God less? And so what happens is because of those fears, those insecurities, we don't share. The statistics are sad. That 60% of Christians, the vast majority of believers, won't share their faith this year. When it's our God-given assignment. Like I was talking with my friend Brad this afternoon. He says, well, some people like to say it's the great suggestion because we treat it as just that, a great suggestion. You should, if you could, maybe, when it's convenient, if maybe possible for you. Share your faith. Go and make disciples and teach them all the things that I taught you and tell them to observe all the things that I said because their life will be better in that. But it's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. But the good news for you and I is that you don't have to get on an airplane. You don't have to go halfway across the world. You know, you don't have to go to a foreign nation. You don't have to go over a border somewhere to fulfill the Great Commission in your life. Because Jesus, as he was saying, the same statements, and now in the book of Acts, one of the theologians and the historians, Luke, writes the stories and eyewitness accounts of Jesus in the book of Acts. And Acts in the first chapter, when Jesus starts to speak about the endowing or the power of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, he says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And listen to what he says. He says, you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. So often we think that this is an and then or and statement. So Jesus says, you will be witnesses to me, and it'll start in Jerusalem, and then it'll go to Judea, and then it will go to Samaria, and then it will go to all of the earth. And that's the order in which it happened. But I love what Jesus, he doesn't say and then. He says, you'll be witnesses to me. You'll be little Christs. You'll be great commission fulfillers in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and into the ends of the utmost parts of the world, as some translations say. What I think is amazing is that this exact statement is fulfilled right there with his disciples. Some people, like Paul, later on, traveled the world. Peter ended up in Rome, where he finally died under Emperor Nero in 64 AD. Some of the disciples stayed in Jerusalem, like Jesus said. Some of them went to places like Samaria, and some of them just went home, and they shared their faith. You see, you don't have to go to the nations of the world to fulfill the Great Commission. I believe that God's desire for us is to bring Jesus to our world. Your world might be on the other side of the world. God might have a calling that brings you or draws you somewhere else. Some people feel called to Mexico or to South America. Some people have been felt called to Africa or India or Asia or even Europe. Your world might be somewhere far, far away, or your world might be your home, your apartment, your street, your city, your valley, your job. But the Great Commission, the commandment that Jesus gives to every person that follows him, is to bring Jesus to your world, wherever it is. I heard one preacher say it like this: you may not be able to change the world. We look at what the world is doing. We look at the society that is. We look at culture. We look at the current events. We see what's happening in the Middle East, what's happening in Asia, what's happening in India. We say, man, what can I do to change the world? And you may not be able to change the world, but you can bring change to your world through Jesus Christ. And that, I believe, is the essence of the Great Commission that Jesus says, is that he says, go, share your faith, whether it be across the street, whether it be across the oceans, share your faith to bring change to the world. Why? Because sharing our faith activates us in God's kingdom. It quickens us and awakens us to the purpose of what God has us here for. Did you know that you are the plan of God to spread the news of the kingdom of God on earth? Matthew West a couple of years ago wrote a song called Do Something. And in the song he talked about, God, I look around at what's going on and I raise my fist to heaven and I say, God, do something. And in the song he says, I did. I sent you. You see, you are the vessel to bring change to your world, your sphere of influence, your circle, whatever it might be. It might be broad, it might be abroad, or it might be small, but you are the vessel that Jesus Christ has sent today for this day to bring the change, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to your world. And that's why Jesus says every follower, every believer, it's not a suggestion. It's not a thought or an idea. He says it's a commandment. Go and do this. He says, Luke says in his commissioning statement at the end of Luke in the 24th chapter, in verse number 46, Jesus says, it's written, this is why it was so important for the Son of Man to die, to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day for that authority, for that power. Why? Verse number 47, he goes on, he says, that the repentance and the remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And I love what he says to his disciples, and you are witnesses of these things. You're a witness. You're a witness in your life. You're a witness in your words. You're a witness in your work. You're a witness in everything you do, whether you travel the world or you travel across to get the mail. You are a witness to God to fulfill God's great commission. I don't have it on the screen, but in Mark, the 16th chapter, in Mark's commissioning statement, Jesus tells his disciples to go and to preach the gospel to all creation. I heard a story once of a missionary in Africa where he was walking to the Maasai villages and he stopped there and he heard, I think Dr. Barron told the story about it once, and he saw some monkeys and he felt God say, preach to the monkeys, and he preached to the monkeys and God said, give an altar call to the monkeys. And then the missionary came back and said, God, are you serious? Are you kidding me? Give an altar call to the monkeys. And he was reminded of Mark the 16th chapter to preach the good news to all creation. And he gave an altar call to the monkeys, and there hiding in the bush under the tree where the monkeys were some Maasai women who were working on the side of the road, that when they saw him coming, they hid in the bushes and they heard the altar call and they gave their hearts to Jesus and they brought him to the villages that they were in. By just fulfilling the commandment that Jesus gave to each and every one of us, and that commandment is today to bring Jesus to your world. To bring Jesus to your world. That's all. If you get anything out of this tonight, bring Jesus to your world. And this is the shortest message I've ever preached in my entire life. Because what we want to do today is I want to take some time and I'm going to call up my friend and co-worker in the kingdom, the Reverend Beth Sandell, Elizabeth Sandell. Beth, grab that microphone right there by Pastor Dan. Beth was one of the team leaders to our missions trip to Mexico, and I'm going to ask Beth to just give us an update of what happened last week with Mexico, and she's going to show you a video afterwards of some things. But Beth, would you just tell us a little bit about what Mexico was, who went, why did you go, where did you go? Tell us some of that stuff.
Yeah, so we went to Mexico for 5 days, Ensenada, as well as some other places surrounding that, and this was the most jam-packed 5 days I've ever experienced on a mission field. The first night we got there, we took young adults, we took a lot of youth. It was a very young trip, so it was a very loud trip, amen. But it was awesome to see their faith, to see their excitement, and just to their expectation of what God was going to do. The first night we got there, we're groggy from the long ride, we're exhausted, and we go straight to the hospitals. We go, we pick up some food, we make some sandwiches, we go to the hospitals there. The hospitals are different. They're a lot worse condition than here. And we just began to pray for families. We just began to go into the hospital rooms and pray for very serious conditions. And we saw amazing results. We were asking them, how are you feeling? Is the pain gone? Yes, the pain is gone. Are you feeling better? Yes, I'm feeling better. The next day we went to, it was really early in the morning, we went down to this concrete slab and they told us, you're going to build a house today. And I thought, that's funny. Yeah, we're not. But we literally built a house in one day for a pastor and his wife, from a concrete slab to three rooms and a loft and electricity. I mean, I'm still amazed right now that our team did that. And this family had been through some really rough times. They didn't have a place to live, but they were preaching the gospel. And this ministry reached out and built them a home. The next day we went out, we went to a women's rehab. We went to a men's rehab. We went to a young girl's home. And that, the presence of God there was beyond what I can put into words. I mean, God had some incredible moments where God just specifically spoke to people in those rehabs and encouraged them in salvations, of course, and it was amazing. And on the very last day, we went and we preached in the services at some of the churches. I mean, their stage was smaller than this black box here, and they were jumping, they were screaming, they were worshiping, and it was absolutely incredible to see what God is doing out there. So it was amazing.
Now, Beth, tell some of the impact of what right now, as we speak, probably, yeah, absolutely. As we speak in the youth, they're giving testimonies of what God did in them. But maybe can you share maybe what you heard or you saw some testimonies of what God did, not just to the people of Ensenada, but to the people who went on that trip and how impacted they were from that trip.
Yeah, and we go on mission trips for a few reasons. Number one, to reach the lost, you know, number two, to encourage the churches out there. And number three, also, to, man, build the faith of us believers. There's something about going out there, being so, so, so uncomfortable, and God use you. I know for me, we went to this women's rehab, and we walk in, and there's about 20 women, and it looks like a prison. It really does. I feel like, oh, I just got incarcerated, you know? Here we go. And they shut the door behind me. I'm like, no, right? And there's all kinds of people there, and it looked really rough. It was really crazy looking, and there was this girl there, and she just was not having it. She was just, she was actually from San Diego. She was in Mexico though. And her face was just not there. She was not having it. And even as we did the worship, she wasn't having it. Even as I got up and began to preach, she was not having it. And then I said a prayer while preaching. I said, God, just speak to her heart. God, just speak to her heart. She needs to hear something from you. And it was incredible. I said, hey guys, I'm going to share with you a verse, the very first verse that I memorized when I first got saved. It's Jeremiah 29:11. And this girl who was just angry, who was not receiving, this girl who didn't want to be there, she opened her Bible and she screamed. And I thought, oh, here we go, Lord, you know. And she screamed, oh my gosh, my Bible turned exactly to Jeremiah 29:11. And she holds up a picture, and it's a picture of her daughter she hasn't seen in 2 years because she's been so addicted to drugs. She had her taken away. She's made the worst decision she could have ever made. And she holds up this picture, and later she explains to me she was going to leave the rehab. She was going to leave. She was going to give up, and she was going to go back to drugs. But I wonder if God sent me just to encourage her. Mm. What if she left? What if she gave up? What if that was it for her and she never saw her daughter? What if she left God and she actually got saved that day? She gave her life to Jesus Christ. But more importantly, I think the biggest thing is that God just showed me, Beth, because I didn't want to preach Jeremiah 20. I thought, that's not an exciting verse. Where's the verse where they jumped into the lion pit? Where's the verse where they did that and they did this? And God was like, just be you. And I did, and God really used that, but more importantly, God spoke to her directly. Awesome. So it was
good.
That's
awesome. I know that my 16-year-old nephew, James, went, and it was his first time going to another country, and we asked him yesterday, you know, how was it? And he was just so impacted by it, and he saw some spiritual things, you know, and some, you know, they had some oppositions, and he was just like, Uncle Luke, I've never seen anything like that. And I just asked him, I said, isn't it cool? And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, it's cool when you realize that it's not your mama's faith, that it's actually real and that you're getting into it. And he was just like, yeah. And I'm like, you're going to go back? And he's like, I want to go again. I mean, so just to see somebody catch it. You know, I always believe, I'm a believer of missions, because we go thinking we're going to change the world, but we come back and our world is changed.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm such a believer of missions. We have a recap video, right?
Just
so show them the house and all the different things. So why don't you check out the screen of just the video of what happened this last week in Ensenada, Mexico.
This is no performance. pray it's worship. Empty words I can't afford.
So we just bought groceries. Tonight we're going to go to the hospitals and we're going to be making sandwiches and handing them out to people and offering prayer.
While I'm singing, you're the reason for my song.
Whatever voice.
I mean, it's so amazing. And one thing I wanted to do is I'm going to have some friends of mine come up as well. I'm going to invite Pastor Dan and my friend Brad to come up. And what I thought we could do before, as we finish up tonight, is to ask a couple of questions. That missions trips are so amazing. And I believe they're amazing because of what they do to us. And there's an experience that you get when you go on a missions trip that you just, sometimes it's hard to replicate. I know that I've spent personally, my parents took me 2 weeks to live on an orphanage in Mexico, in Baja, California. I spent a month in Africa when I was 16 years old, in South Africa, Tanzania, or Tanzania, as the British call it, as well as Zimbabwe. I've been to the Philippines and Peru. My wife and I, right before we got married, we went to Peru together for 2 weeks. And God's done some amazing things. And I just know that some of the most fulfilling moments and some of the most miraculous things I've ever seen happen when I was on a missions trip. And what I was starting to think about this tonight is, as we're looking at the subject of the Great Commission, is how can we have this mission trip experience without flying all the way across the world to go on a missions trip? Because I believe that God wants each and every one of us as believers, those of us who follow Jesus, to have a experience with Him in sharing our faith and doing something for somebody else. And so I'm going to just kind of, I was thinking about what are the commonalities of what I've experienced during missions. And there are four things that I saw that I always saw that were always in all of the missions trips that I went on all across the world and all around the world. And ask questions on how can we make that happen to us today? How can that happen to you, even if it means just going across the street or if it means doing whatever it might be? So I'm going to ask some questions. And here we have my friend, and I'll just give a real quick introduction. This is my friend. He was one of my first interns in our young adults ministry when I took over our young adults ministry from Pastor Dan. And this is Brad Andrews. Brad actually works for the venerable Dr. Baron Gilfillan at ISOM. You've probably heard or seen Dr. Baron here before, and he does a lot of missions trips with us at the church. So Brad is Dr. Baron's right-hand man, does all the stuff, organizing missions trips for ISOM. This last year, you were in Mongolia twice, yep. Right? Went to Israel with me. We had a great time on a missions work in Israel with the Messianic Jews. Brad, why don't you just give us a little bit of a story about you, some of the things that you've done as well. Just tell us about you.
Oh, good. Yeah, put me first that way.
Right, come on, brother.
Theirs is so much better. yeah, no, I was 20 years old. Like you said, the last 2.5 years I've had
the ridiculous privilege of working at the International School of Ministry under Dr. Baron. Dr. Baron and Lisa are without a doubt the most amazing men and women of God that I've ever had the pleasure of meeting, knowing, and working under in my entire existence. The International School of Ministry itself, we operate in about 146 different countries. We have over 17,000 training centers around the world. And so me being able to just kind of have a little glimpse of kind of everything that happens there in the production of that, the administration of that, the orchestration of all of it on a mass scale, it's a privilege just to be able like really to see, like you said, as an intern here. When you work for an organization that big, there's a lot that goes into it. And, a lot of the times I think we have we live in such like a Twitter, Instagram generation, you know what I mean? Where it's like you get to see the highlights of everything. It's easy like to just like get envious of like, these really important things. But when you work like for an organization that works 146 different countries, you definitely get to see the amount of work and sweat, blood, tears that kind of go into that. So. Yeah.
And what countries have you visited?
Ooh, countries. Been to Mexico, obviously. I'm Mexican, in case you
there
can't
you
tell.
There you go. You can't no, do it.
No. Yeah, Mexican. Like you said, I went to Mongolia twice last year. Once was the mission trips with a team. Then I went back about, I think, 2 weeks or 3 weeks later,
yeah.
Just to continue kind of the work and the doors that God had opened up. I got to travel there alone and just stay with some of my friends there. Went to Israel with you. Those are pretty much my main mission
South
trips.
South Africa, too, you visited. You
not quite yet. I'm hoping to go this year, though. I'll be going to Nepal later on this year, which,
yes.
ISOM is taking two trips this year. I'm a plug-in, shameless plug if I'm allowed. Yeah.
Well, you did it either way. So
yeah, ask for forgiveness, right? We're going to Nepal. We're taking a team to Nepal this year. We still have, I think, 2 or 3 slots. It's closing up, as well as taking more people to Israel.
Awesome. We're glad to have you with us, and we're going to talk some more about that. As we all know, he needs no introduction. He is our senior pastor, Pastor Dan Roth. Pastor, would you just tell some of your missions experiences?
Well, when I got saved, the only thing that I knew really was my family, And so what we had been raised up in, and my brother had gotten on fire for the Lord and gotten saved, going on missions and that sort of a thing. And so at the time, he was connected, and as well, our youth pastor was connected with an organization called Royal Servants. I just followed what he was doing, I was like, oh, Christians tithe, okay, we'll tithe, and so I just started doing stuff. And with that, I was 15 years old, and so I went on a trip that took us, we went over and started in the middle of a field in Illinois. Some of you guys have heard my stories about being in a field in Illinois and the things that God has done in the field in Illinois. It's amazing. But we went from there. That was our training camp center. And then we would go for 3 months, the total trip time was. So I did that 4 years in a row. So I spent a total of a year on the mission field from the time I got saved. All my summers were spent on the mission field from that point on. And so I did one where we started in England, went up to Scotland, back down to England, France, Germany, Belgium, Switzerland, Slovenia, Italy, I mean, just we kind of did the circle around Europe. And then I did another one where we went to Israel, spent 19 days in Israel. And then we did that same loop around Europe. And then I did two trips where we went border to border, coast to coast, across the United States. And we went to churches, put on productions, that sort of a thing. After that, coming off of that, I did some local missions. I'd already gone to Mexico, done some stuff down there. And then we also did one called Global Link LA, where we went to downtown Los Angeles. We were staying at a church right next to Echo Park, taking food to MacArthur Park, going and doing street ministries and connecting. We also took youth from this church to the Dream Center and exposed them to missions there and things like that. So awesome. That's been my missions experience.
Right on. Awesome.
And then last is the one who was just up there, and this is the Reverend Beth Sandell. Now, Beth is the intern director here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, as well as very involved in our young adults ministry. Beth, you have quite an extensive list of missions things that you've done, because I know that when Beth worked for me, you quit twice working for me.
That's still okay.
I'm not bitter about it at all. But the first time you did,
I came crawling back every time.
No, but the first time you did,
third time
you went
out
to Africa. So tell us a little bit about what you've done.
Yeah, I'm now old enough, I can say I've been doing missions for over 10 years. That's amazing. And I started doing them with Pastor Paul Ogando, who I just went to Mexico with. He was our main leader, and he taught me everything I know, and so I'm so grateful for that. Yeah, I don't even remember where I've gone. But I do know I did live in Uganda, Africa, for 6 months with Watoto Ministries, Marilyn Skinner. That blew my mind. That was absolutely astounding. I don't know what else has happened in my life, but I knew that I had to come back.
You and Missy, right? You guys went to Peru.
Yes.
With us, right? Yeah.
Peru's our life.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you went last year also.
Yeah, we took a team last year, and that was so much fun.
Yeah, so awesome. So Beth's been all over the world as well. So I thought, given their world travels and experience with mission trips, I thought what we could do is talk about the commonalities of what you get in a mission trip and how we can make that happen, or how we can foster that attitude or that spirit in our lives here. So that even if you don't travel, if you never go on a mission trip, if you never travel abroad, that God still wants to have that same experience in your life, that you don't have to cross an ocean to have God to do something miraculous in your life. And so there were some things that I saw, so I'm just going to ask some questions and kind of share some experiences and lead that. And the first one, I'm going to point it at Pastor Dan, and that's the commonality that I understand that when I saw when I've gone on my mission trip is that the mission trip really start at home. And that, you know, so often you hear about people say, you know what, I'm going on a missions trip, and when I get to the airport, I'm on my missions trip. But really, the missions trip doesn't start when you arrive at the airport, or when you arrive in that country, or you arrive in that city, or that foreign destination. The mission trip begins at home. And I thought about that, and the commonality of it is that a lot of our mission fields are at home. I remember I was talking with Pastor Deborah once, and she said to me, a famous preacher had told her, that many Christians fly over their mission field to go to the mission field. And so with that idea that the mission trip starts at home, Pastor, what do you think we can do that we can have an opportunity to have that mission trip experience like you saw in Peru or in Mexico and all the different things that you've heard before? What do you think we can do to foster that experience right here in our own homes?
Well, there's something that I learned in preparation for missions that I think stuck with me all these years, and probably after tonight you're going to understand why it stuck with me, because it's going to stick with you. I heard that in order to be a good Christian, you had to get fatter.
Amen.
And so, you know, obviously that's not a physical thing, you know, but really what is it talking about? They taught us four things, F-A-T-R, fatter Christians are faithful, available, teachable, and real. And I think that if you can be faithful to show up and be prepared to say, God, I want you to use me. God, give me a divine appointment. God, just show me who you want me to share with today. And be faithful. Every day ask that. Every day be prepared and say, God, I've got a heart that's ready. I'm here for you, God. I'm believing you for open doors of opportunity to speak. Be available, you know. I was on a plane just recently going on a trip, and I was trying to sleep, and so I'm trying to get back on California time because I was on the East Coast coming back, and I slept, and then when I woke up, I looked at the guy next to me, and I said, I'm so sorry I didn't introduce myself when I first sat down. My name is Dan. And from then on, I mean, we were locked in, and just this guy was, you know, into like Zen and this and that. And so he was reading a book about darkness and how light comes out of darkness, this and that. And I was like preaching John chapter 1 to him from right there, you know, and it was just amazing. But I was available, you know. It was like, you know what, God, any moment that I have is not my own. I'm available to you. Be teachable, you know. Trying to have all the answers. If you don't know the answer to a question, I don't know. I'll go find out.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it later. I'll answer that question, you know? And be real. Sometimes we think that, like, you know, with missions work and that sort of a thing, you got to be crazy or any, you know, just be you. Sometimes we put up such a front. Just be who you are. Like, we take our kids and they're in sports, that sort of a thing. And just yesterday, out of the baseball practice, somebody asked me, hey, Pastor, what are they doing for the kids ministry over there at the Rock for Easter? You know, our little guy, we wanted them to see what, you know, Easter's all about. So what are they going to do? And I mean, I just flat out preached the gospel as loud as I could so that everybody sitting around that was watching their kids practice baseball heard the gospel presentation. Well, because that's me. You know what I mean? I'm a preacher. That's what I do. And so I said, oh, we're going to have the kids. And they grab balloons and they take the balloons and they release the balloons because Jesus has taken our sins. And, you know, and it was like, and I, you know, some people leaned in and they were just like, whoa, you know. But they, just be real. Just be you. You don't have to be Pastor Dan. Thank God. You know, you don't have to be Beth. You don't have to be Brad. Be you and just start where you're at. Be fatter. Be faithful, available, teachable, and real.
You know, I think too, and I was kind of saying beforehand, when I was asking him, this is probably what we'll talk about. I think Matthew, the 25th chapter, Jesus says, you know, you visited me when I was in prison. You brought me food when I was hungry, and when I was naked, you came to me. And the disciples, he says, you know, you're going to respond back to me. When did we ever do that? And he says, when you did this to the least of my brethren, you did this to me. And I think sometimes we get intimidated because we say, well, you know what, I don't have the funds to go, or I don't have the resources to go, I don't have the time to go, I'm too old, and I'm not going to get on an airplane, I don't want to go to another country. But to realize that the mission field, Jesus was in Samaria, and he said, he opened up his eyes, and he saw the town, and he told his disciples, guys, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There is more work to be done than there are people to do the work today on earth, which means that if we would open our eyes to recognize that right here at home, wherever you're at, you can have that mission field experience by reaching out and allowing God to use you to do something, to share your faith with somebody else. It's the first step, I think, to one of the great understandings of missions trips. I think, Beth, you were talking about one of the keys that you had with the missions trip in Mexico.
Yeah, so what we do with our teams is it's great we're going to Mexico and we're ministering there, but we make a huge realization that this is our home. And we're gonna reach our city, we're gonna reach our people. And so what we do with our teams is we take them to Rock in the Streets. And so the week before we went to Mexico, we went out to Rock in the Streets and we loved it. And I mean, throughout the trip, we talked about a Rock in the Streets and everything like that, because I think the biggest thing is okay, whatever God did in Mexico, the question is, how can we bring that home into our lives? How can I apply that at my school? How can I apply that in my family? How can I apply that at the place that I work? Whatever God did, it needs to come back with us. And I think that's just really huge.
That's awesome. Now, Brad, in your world travels, you just did something locally. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so like this last Friday, had the really neat opportunity and privilege to do something with one of my good friends, Cynthia Clifford. I think she's actually in the youth right now.
In the youth right now.
Yeah, so working harder than I am. But yeah, she's one of my favorite people, one of the most godliest people you'll ever meet. She is a student at the University of Redlands. And so basically all that happened is she's a student there. She gets every single day to live, see, talk, breathe with like these students. And when you kind of live life with your eyes open, you know, sensitive to like other people's needs, is that she just began to see that there was not just a desire or a want or a hunger, but an absolute life or death need for Jesus Christ to kind of penetrate onto that campus, you know? And And so basically what happened is God just began to give her a burden and a vision for just doing some type of outreach, some type of event that would just lift up Jesus, that would let people know that there's hope, that there's life, you know, available to them. Because my whole generation, the millennials and things, you know, man, we have everything to live with, but nothing to live for, you know? And so this is, you know, just a burden that God put on our heart. And for the last couple months, you know, we've been working hard planning this big event where we rented out a 1,600 seat chapel, just trying to invite and do everything we can, from bribing, lying, cheating, stealing, just kidding. You know, just to get people, students, to this place, you know, these students who are just too smart for their own good. You know, we've all had church experience, have always had some type of encounter with religion, gone through religion's philosophy classes, you know, but at the end of the day, nothing that they do or that they're involved with is satisfying, you know, and I've spent time, you know, had the privilege of spending time with her on that campus and getting to know, like, just the amazing people that are there, you know, and, you know, sitting in with their safe spaces where they get to talk about all the sexual encounters they had that week, you know, the bad drug trip that went bad, you know, and just like I said, and so we got to see this event on Friday night. We invited everybody that we possibly could, and, you know, by the grace of God, we got to see salvations, and people, you know, began just to, you know, make progress on that campus.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, just being a part of it and seeing that, it was so neat to see that burden, not just for somewhere else, because it's that idea of like, well, God's called me somewhere else, but to say, you know, my home, why don't I start, like Cynthia, that burden, why don't I start where I am today in my home? And I think that that's just the idea of that. And, you know, I think the second thing that brings me to that second thing is that mission trips are all about preparation. It's all about the preparation in mission trips. I think it back to when I was a young adults pastor and we sent a group to Bulembu and we told them, you can't fundraise with anybody in the church. And Alex was over there. Alex is like, oh, I see Alex right there. Alex is like, Pastor, how am I going to do that? And I was like, Alex, part of the what you're going to get out of the mission trip is the faith you need to finance this mission trip 6 months in advance and going to that journey. And open, God opened up doors after door after door because they were putting the preparation and they were planning. They were stepping out in faith months before anything that happened. And you and Cynthia were planning this thing for months working. I mean, I asked you to be a part of a group of dudes at my house, and Brad was like, no, I don't have time for you. And I was like, I felt a little hurt by that, but I'm okay now because it was a great event and everything you put into it was worth it. But what can we do when it comes to mission trips being all about preparation? What do you think we can do in our lives to think of that preparation to be effective in church today, or to be effective, not in church, but in the mission field of home or wherever it might be?
Ooh, yeah, that's a good question. You know, in my short experiences, you know, kind of with these things, I've discovered, I think, that God's purposes always happen on purpose. You know, that like intentionality is kind of key in everything it is that God does, or any ministry that's built, any progress that's made inside life or in your kingdom, you know, or in the kingdom of God, it always happens on purpose. You know what I mean? Success isn't accidental. There's no key to success. It happens, I think, a quote, you know, when opportunity and preparation meet is when success happens. You know, and that's just, I think, the biggest thing. And the biggest thing, I think, first off, starting off, is recognizing that there's a need, opening up your eyes. You know, I remember there's a time in my life where I was struggling with something God had called me to do. I was like, God, I really don't want to. That's not my calling. I don't, you know, yada, yada. I remember God told me, he said, Brad, you don't need to be called because their need is your calling. And if there's a need, that's your calling. You just need to go for it. You know, and so basically what happens, you know, is like I said, it just goes back to intentionality. When you recognize a need, it makes it so much easier to work backwards from there than how can I fulfill this need? Yeah. What is it that if there's a need, how do I fulfill it? How do I bring advancement or the solution to this issue? You know, and so maybe like it is, you know, like we're talking like intentionality, just begin thinking ahead, just begin planning out. So, you know, if like you're at work, you know, like when was the last time that you bought donuts for your coworkers?
Wow.
You know, like when, you know, if you're, you know, if like you're, you know, you're trying to reach out to your neighbor, like, have you tried mowing their lawn? I don't care if they're difficult. Have you tried? You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. There's always some type of intentionality, some key. If there's a need that they have, just look. I think there's a saying, I think, you know, that I say, if you see a need, take the lead.
Yeah.
You know, and so if there's a need, I think that's the first thing. Find out what the need is. Find out what you can do, you know, and the preparation process, you know, that there's a grace that God gives. Like when you have a God-given need and you reach out and you step out in faith saying, I don't know how I'm going to get the funds to bring like this type of thing. And I don't know, you know, that the time or I don't know the people that are going to show up to this. God provides that whole area. Yeah. You know what I mean? With his grace, he just begins to do it, but it doesn't happen. So you just begin to step out with intentionality, with purpose, looking, seeing the need, go out and just fulfill it.
Awesome. Awesome. Pastor Dan, Beth, do you guys have anything you want to add to that?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I would say with that preparation and the needs, that sort of thing, that's how most of our outreaches got started at this church, was we saw a need and we prayed about it. We stepped in and we did small things. Sometimes we want to do the big things, you know, and you'll get there, but start small. Right. Think about it. Every oak tree started with an acorn. And so for all of us, I think that's where what Brad was saying is so key, because if you're prepared, in prayer, if you're prepared, even setting aside, you know, like you said, donut money, $5, lunch money for someone other than yourself, you know, any of those things, you know, if you see something, somebody needs help. There's a great book called Conspiracy of Kindness by Steve Sogren. He talked about sharing God's love in a practical way and how they were able to spread the love of God doing things like handing out a Coca-Cola on a hot day or, you know, painting somebody's fence or different things like that. And so, yeah, those needs, if you're in prayer and you're, again, available, back to what I was talking about before, then God's going to open those doors and set up divine appointments and have those things that you've prepared for planned out.
I just was reading today too on the Billy Graham Evangelical Association, I think is what it's called, Tips on Sharing Your Faith from Billy Graham. And one of the things it said, in our society, you need to earn the right for people to hear what you have to say. You can't just go and show up and preach to somebody and expect them just to receive that today. They've heard it. Somebody's already done it before. He says you need to earn the right to speak into somebody's life. And how do you do that? Oftentimes that comes in preparation by listening to what they have to say before you ever say anything to them.
Very good.
And I think that comes to preparation. It's just a listening to have a conversation with somebody before you just try to jam something down their throat, to let the Holy Spirit begin to work in you, preparation to speak into their life. That's preparation. Thinking about sharing the faith and speaking with people, oftentimes that takes us out of our comfort zone, and missions trips involve discomfort. I don't know if I've ever been to a missions trip that was at a 5-star location in the Ritz-Carlton. I remember my wife, she wasn't my wife in Peru, she was in the girls' dorm, I was in the guys' dorm. It was a hostel, so everybody slept in a big room, and the girls were in one big room, and she was in a big room. She screamed, and a mouse ran right across her feet while she was taking a shower, and she ran out of the shower naked, but luckily it was in the girls' room. Missions trip involved discomfort. But part of that discomfort, I think, takes us out of our sphere of comfort, takes us out of our comfort zone, and allows us to step out in faith to what God wants to do. And so I'm going to ask Reverend Beth, what do you think, in the same light of what we are talking about, what can we do to allow God to remove us, or maybe to step out willingly of our comfort zone to have that mission trip experience right here at our homes?
Yeah, I think there's opportunities all around us. If you think about someone in your family, think about someone at your work that's struggling, and you want to share the joy that you have, the Jesus that you have, there's going to be that uncomfortable fear. But I think if we could just embrace the awkward, everyone just say it with me, embrace the awkward. It's probably going to be awkward, y'all. Like, let's just be honest. There's going to be awkward moments in sharing the gospel. There's going to be uncomfortable moments. You're definitely going to feel like, I don't think I'm going to say the right thing. Who's ever felt like that? Like, I'm probably most likely going to cuss in the middle of it, right? You know, somehow it's going to happen, or I'm going to say the wrong thing, or I'm going to do this, whatever it is. And you feel like maybe someone else should do this. You're hoping that God's going to send somebody else, but the reality is that you're the one who's chosen. Yeah. And, you know, I was training for a half marathon, you know, last year, and I was running with this girl who was like absolutely incredible and so fast, and we ended up running the half marathon together. She beat me by 2 hours. I'm ashamed, I know. It took me months to get over. But I remember asking her, my God, woman, how are you so fast? And it was like she heard theme music all of a sudden in her head, and she looked up into the sky and she held her fist. I was like, what's happening right now? And she said, it's in my blood. And I was like, girl, it ain't mine. You're right. But she said, it's in her blood. And I began to think about that. And I thought, oh my goodness. Like, it's not in my blood to run, that's for sure. But it's in my blood to share the gospel.
Yeah.
And I'm anointed to do it. And it's the same thing for you. When you begin to feel uncomfortable, you begin to think, oh man, I really want to ask them how they're doing, but I know that if they, I just don't think, and just begin to think, no, it's in my blood. The same power that rose Jesus from the Christ, from the dead, lives on the, it's in me. I am anointed to do this. God is not going to set me up to fail me. He's going to set me up to push me out of my comfort zone, but he is ever faithful.
Amen.
And I think, I think those uncomfortable situations, you find something in you that you didn't know was there.
Yeah.
You might be stuttering, you might get sweaty. And I remember telling my team, I was like, you guys probably think I'm like so good at this because I preach and I do this, but y'all need to know, like, if my armpits ain't sweaty, then I ain't talking to someone before. I get sweaty, I get nervous, I get stuttery, I say things that I would never ever want to say, but that's the fun of it, isn't it? And I told the team, I said, okay, as we go into this, I need you to understand something. No guts, no glory. No guts, God doesn't get the glory. We don't step out in faith, we don't step out in that uncomfortable state, then God is gonna miss some glory. There's gonna be some glory moments, there's gonna be some salvations, there's gonna be some opportunities that are missed.
Yeah.
And so just as you're working through the uncomfortableness, just embrace the awkward and look for the opportunities. You know, I know you guys were talking about Ephesians 5 says, make the most of every opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, I think we need to not only look for them, we need to make opportunities. I dare you to run out of money at Walmart in front of me because I will pay for you and then I'll tell you about Jesus. You know, like, let's make some opportunities in front of us. And so that's uncomfortable.
Awesome.
It really
awesome.
Is.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think just piggybacking off of that, I think it's funny, is like nowhere in the Bible does it say that dignity and comfort are a fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
You know what I mean? It's like never. You know, there's a lot of things that like Jesus brings, but like dignity and comfort is like never one of them. You know, I mean, he's the comforter, I suppose, but that's after I get uncomfortable typically. You know, and I think anybody who knows me pretty well, like I talk way more than I should, obviously. You know, one thing I'm good at is putting my foot in my mouth, you know, and at the end of the day, I make a total fool of myself, you know, around like people sometimes. I love to talk to people. I'm an extreme extrovert, you know, and it's easy to do the same thing. You know, like, I made a fool of myself. I just look stupid. I didn't have the right answer. You know, at the end of the day, I think the verse I go to comfort myself, you know, is that at the end of the day, God uses the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise.
That's awesome.
And so if I have to be a fool for Jesus, I'm his fool, you know, here I am.
That's it. That's great. And wrapping up tonight, the last thing I recognized when I was going on my mission trips is mission trips are all about expectation. You go expecting that God's going to do something. It's just like, you know it. I mean, I remember when I went to Peru, it was like, crusades, we're seeing healings today. And we did. But not always do you see what you expect. Not always what you thought would happen happened. Sometimes your expectations aren't met. Sometimes they're exceeded. And I think in our Christian walk, and this is going to be just a final thought for tonight. In our Christian walk, sometimes you might share. You might step out in that mission trip experience, and it might be what you expected, or it might not be what you expected. But God gets the glory. So just in that final thought, maybe just a couple of words, what do you have to say about that mission trip experience of what we can do going expecting God to do something in that stepping out? Anybody? Free to anybody.
Yeah, there's been times where I've stepped out and I'm like, ooh, this is a word from the Lord. Right? And you're so excited, then you say it and it's like, weren't. Like nothing happens and it's a little disappointing, but you never know what's on the other side of that obedience.
Yeah.
And I'll just say this real quick. I remember years and years ago, I'd always invite a friend and she'd say no. I always invite a friend to church, she'd say no. I always invite a friend, she'd say no. I'd say, you need some prayer. I know you need some prayer. You want some prayer? She'd say no. All right, and over and over and over, then probably like 5 years went by and I got a phone call from her. She said, I'm addicted to drugs. I'm living in a relationship I know is absolutely wrong. My life is falling apart. I want to kill myself tonight. I don't know to go to. I just remember you always asked me to come to church. So can you give me what you had? You know, and to say that, I say that because my expectation in the moment was she was going to drop to her knees the first time I invited her to church and she was going to get saved right then and there. But the reality wasn't that. I was just planting seeds and God was watering. And I was planting seeds and God was watering.
That's right.
It. And so you never, the expectation is never going to be the way that we want it to be. And to be honest, I'm a little excited about that because God's ways are higher than our ways.
That's awesome.
So go with that.
Pastor Dan, you want to close us out with a final word of thought of wisdom?
You know, it's so funny you talk about expectation. I often, and maybe you're like me in this sense, is that I often, when I knew I was going to do something that was down and dirty, you know, you talked about you're not at a 5-star hotel, that sort of a thing. When I went to Los Angeles, I call it Lost Angeles. I do not like, and I will stay away from using the word hate, but you all know what I'm talking about. going there because it's just like it's dirty. I know that there's demon possessed people walking around the streets and stuff, and I just know what we're gonna get into. And then I'm gonna go to a park and give somebody a sandwich, and I'm gonna hear the stories and all that kind of stuff, you know. And maybe you feel the same way when you're pulling up to the stop and there's the person with the cardboard sign. Maybe you feel the same way when somebody stops you in the parking lot at the store. Maybe you feel the same way walking into your job and you know the guy next to you is going to tell you some nasty joke or talk to you about some filthy thing that they did on the weekend or something like that, and you have not the expectation of good, but you've got the expectation of bad, right?
Yeah.
And that dread and that fear comes over you. But I can tell you that I know from experience that every time I went to the park and shared Jesus with somebody, every time I went to the streets, every time I went to places that smelled like urine and it was uncomfortable, and you know, I was wondering if somebody was wanting to kill me or hurt me, that afterwards that there was a grace that was supplied in the moment of obedience, and that the high that I felt on Jesus and on the Spirit of God could not be matched by any earthly substance that I could ingest or smoke or sniff or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. And afterwards, I mean, you have this great exploit. The people who know their God will do great exploits. And that's really what this is all about, is getting outside of yourself, going on the mission field, going to Mexico, going to different places, you know, not having running water, not having electricity, all that kind of stuff. Sometimes there's a dread. And in the same way, thinking about sharing Jesus with somebody, thinking about doing good works, for some of you, that's a dread. But just know that on the other side of that, there is a grace and an electrifying encounter with God that you will feel super stoked, super amped, super high, super whatever you want to call it, to where it just cannot be rivaled. There is no substitute. There is no substance that can put you in the place when you know that you're being used by God.
That's such a good word. Today, God has called every one of us to missions. Wherever it might be, across the world, across the street, you are called to be a missionary for Jesus Christ. Today, missions trips, they start at your home. What can you do at your home? What can you do with your family, your circle of influence? It's all about the preparation. Will you put in the time today to see a seed grow later on? That's what mission trips are all about. It's about stepping out of your comfort zone, embracing the awkward of what God wants to do in your life through that uncomfortable moment, as well as it's about expecting that God's going to do something. Even if you see it happen or not, God's going to do something great in your life. Like Pastor Dan said, the high from doing what Jesus calls you to do far exceeds anything else this earth has to offer. Amen?
Amen.
Would you guys get something out of tonight? Can you give the Lord a praise for our panel? Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.